Here we are in session one of Living God's Word, an introduction to the Scriptures. And that's exactly what this class will be. We will endeavor to learn not just how to talk about the Bible, but how to live it, how to have it help us in our day-to-day lives. And in the process, we will get an introduction to the Scriptures. Some of you may have been studying the Bible for years. Some of you may have never opened a Bible. But it doesn't matter whether you know a lot of God's Word or very little. We will teach you things this weekend which will help you in your study of the Scriptures. And let's start by going to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And here in John chapter 10 is a remarkable verse. I can't help thinking of it whenever I'm looking at a clock and it says 10:10. I always think of this verse. Because it says here in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." This is a great verse in the middle of a parable where Jesus Christ is talking about himself as the good shepherd who takes care of God's people. And he says there are thieves that come in and try to steal the sheep, kill them, and destroy them. But not him. He came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And the interesting thing is, this phrase more abundantly, the way it's worded in the Greek text from which this was translated, it could be also translated more than abundantly. Everybody knows what it is to have abundance. It's plenty of stuff. Like we had so much food out when everybody came in, there's still a lot there. That's abundance. Now, if you have abundance is one thing, but when you have more than abundance, that's even more. And that's what Jesus Christ came to do. Some people think Jesus Christ came to make a political statement. Some people think he came to just shake up the status quo. Some people think he was just a good man who said nice things. But he was all those things and very much more. He came that we could have life. And that word life is translated from a Greek word that means life in every aspect. There are some things you can learn about that will help you be very good at a sport, or very good at a musical instrument, or very good at some other aspect of life. But Jesus Christ came that our life could be more than abundant in every single way. And that's the only place you're going to get a more than abundant life in every aspect of your life, is by believing what the Scriptures say about Jesus Christ. A lot of people can help you with this skill or that skill, and that may be very good. But if you want your entire life to be more than abundant, it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God he came to do that. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2. Here in Jeremiah, chapter 2, here in Jeremiah, chapter 2, and verse 13, God here is talking about his people. You get to learn your way around the books of the Bible pretty well here, I think. Here in Jeremiah, chapter 2, and verse 13, "For my people have committed two evils." Now notice who he's talking about. He's not talking about people who have no interest in God. He says his people, God's people, the people that are supposed to be believers. He says, "My people have committed two evils. First of all, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." You see, a fountain is like a spring. It just bubbles out continually. I don't know if you've ever been out in the countryside and seen a spring bubbling out the side of a hill, but it just keeps coming. You can drink as much water as you want, and the spring just keeps going. Whereas a cistern is different. A cistern is like a human-made tank for water, and it's limited by how big the tank is. If it's 100 gallons, you can't put 101 gallons in. But these cisterns, what does it say? They're broken cisterns that can hold no water. And that's the way many people are. Instead of accepting the great things that God can give to them, They want to hew out their own ideologies, their own philosophies, their own ways of looking at life, but they tend to be not only man-made cisterns, they're broken. They keep pouring all their love and affection and thought and devotion into it, and it just runs out the bottom. Whereas God isn't like that. What would you rather, have an endless supply of living water or a canteen with a hole in it? The more water you put in, the more goes out the bottom. You guys may have heard of canteens. We had those when I was a kid. Now you tend to just get a bottle of water and refill it. We didn't. We had a canteen. We just refilled it. But it's the same idea. Or like a leaky Coke can. Wouldn't be any fun. We don't want to do that. We don't want to just put all our heart and life into broken cisterns. We want God's fountain of living waters. Look at what Matthew 22 says. Matthew 22. Here in Matthew chapter 22, bless you. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And we'll learn a lot about that during this class. That the first and most important thing for anybody to do is really love God. And the more we see of His Word about how He loves us and how He wants to take care of us, the more we'll want to love them. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to love somebody who's always kind to you, always helping you out, always giving you things? No, that's easy. It's the people that are always giving you a hard time and always bugging you. It's a big challenge to love them. We can love them, but it's not easy. Whereas with God, He's always kind to us. He's always loving us, so it's very easy to love Him. And that's the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. There are pages and pages of laws in the Old Testament that don't apply to us now, but they were important to God's people then. But they were all summed up in two things. Love God and love your neighbor. Because if you do love God, and you do love your neighbor, everything else in life pretty well works out. Let's go to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea, Job, Esther, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, look at this. It says, my people, again, God's talking about His people. He's talking about people who should have known better. It says they're destroyed for lack of knowledge. It had to be that they either didn't know God's word or they just chose not to apply it in their lives. Well, the reason we have this class this weekend is so we are not like those people. We don't want to be in that position where we are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we won't be, because we'll see what God's Word says, we'll be able to believe it, and we'll have God's wonderful blessings in our daily lives. Now, the first key to receiving something from God is knowing what's available. We all know this. We know that if you want to buy a music CD, you probably don't go to the hardware store. Although coffee shops these days are starting to sell CDs. We know that if you want to buy a shovel to dig a hole in your backyard, you probably don't go to the gas station or the music store. You probably go to a hardware store for that. We know these things. Well, the same thing with God and His Word. We can't receive anything from God until we know what He is willing to give us, what is available. We have to know what's available. And there are a few verses telling you about that. These are just a sample. There are actually hundreds of things that God has said He will gladly give us in His Word, and a few of them are here. The third book of John, way at the back of your Bible, just before the book of Revelation. 3 John, and here in verse 2, 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. God's desire is for us to prosper and be in health. Some people think God is up there with lightning bolts, ready to destroy them and their lives. Some people will tell you that to be a real Christian, you have to be sick and poor, so you're more humble. There are all these crazy ideas floating around, yet what God wants is for us to prosper and be in health. So if we're not prospering or we're not in health, it's not because that's what God wants. There may be a number of reasons, but it's not because God wants you that way. God wants you to prosper and be in health. Philippians 4. I won't say anything corny like go Philippians through your Bible. That wouldn't be nice. Not this time of night. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. But my God, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches. His riches. It's real easy for some rich person with a whole lot of money to pay for things, isn't it? Well, no person in the world has the riches God has. And God says He will supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's another thing that's available. To always have your needs supplied so you never lack anything. Let's look at another one here. 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9 in verse 8. Second Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace. And when you read the word grace here in the Bible, it means God's divine favor. And it's unmerited, meaning we didn't earn it. It's where God gives us things just because He loves us. Think of a baby who gets a bottle or a biscuit to chew on. Did the baby work for that? Did the baby save up money and then go out and buy groceries? No. The baby did nothing to deserve that. It's just because the baby's parents love the baby, they feed him or her. That's sort of the way God is with us. Because of His grace, His unmerited divine favor, He does stuff because He loves us and He cares about us, not because we earned it. Again, you'll find many people in Christianity telling you have to earn everything God ever gives you. Well, there are some things God wants us to do. But it's His grace that is responsible for almost everything God gives us. Where He just gives us stuff because He loves us, He cares about us, He wants us to be provided for. Just like parents would take care of a child. Let's read that again. God is able to make all grace, all divine favor abound toward you. Again, it's not trickling. It's not a little bit of grudging. You ever have somebody that helps you but they grumble about it? Okay, I'll help you out, but don't bug me again. That's not God. His grace, His favor abounds toward us, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. See, there are things God wants us to do. He wants us to live His word. He wants us to speak His word to others. But how could we do that if we were out somewhere starving to death? We couldn't. But God can make His divine favor, His grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things. That pretty well covers everything, doesn't it? Always, all sufficiency, and all things. We can abound to every good work. Again, it's something that's available. It's available for you to always have all sufficiency. It's available for you to have your needs supplied. It's available for you to prosper and be in health. Romans 8, verse 37. Great section here, You might want to read the whole section sometime about the different challenges that face people and how some can be very discouraging and upsetting. And it's summarized here in verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are what? More than conquerors. Could also be translated super conquerors. In all these things we are super conquerors through Him that loved us. Because God loves us, and because His Son Jesus Christ loved us and gave His life for us, we are super conquerors. Again, a lot of people feel that if you're a real Christian, you'll be just a humble doormat and get stepped on and kicked around by everybody. It's not what God's Word says. It says we're super conquerors in every situation because of God's love for us. Isn't that something? That's available. Look what else it says, verse 38. For I'm persuaded, I'm convinced, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You can't make God quit loving you. A lot of people, it's easy to get them to quit loving you. Just look at them cross-eyed or say one thing wrong, and they want nothing to do with you. Not God. Not God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So it's available to be more than conquerors, and God will always love you. Incredible stuff that's available to receive from God. One more here in Ephesians 3. In Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Ephesians 3:16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Isn't that something? That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Imagine being strengthened in the inner man. There are a lot of things you can learn about strengthening the outer man. There are calisthenics and stretching exercises and wind sprints. And they're great for getting the outer man, the physical body, in shape. But how often do you hear of programs that strengthen you in the inner man? Well, that's available. And we'll learn about that, how to do that this weekend. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Imagine Christ dwelling in your hearts. That ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And for you math majors, that's four dimensions. That's pretty tricky. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Imagine being filled with all the fullness of God. That's available. Verse 20, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above everything we ask or think. That's a lot. Because we all can think and ask a lot of stuff. God can do way more than that. These are things that are available from God. It's available to have prosper, be in health, have our needs supplied, have all sufficiency, be more than conquerors, knowing that God can do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Now, why would there be so many promises? Very simple, God's love for us. God didn't have to do any of this. We didn't earn it all. It's because He loves us so much. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy 7, verse 1, or verse 8, actually. Deuteronomy 7, 8. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would, or He wanted, just older English, meaning he wanted to keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers. Hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt? God delivered about 2.5 million of the Israelites from slavery without a shot being fired, without any of the Israelites being hurt. And the reason he did it was because he loved his people and he wanted to keep his promises. Still the reason God does things today. He loves us and he wants to keep his promises. Look at Philippians, we read that. Try Jeremiah 31. By the way, you have the same notes I do, so if I skip a page or a whole section, please raise your hand and tell me. Everybody always laughs when I tell them that, but usually it doesn't take long before I get excited and forget where I am in the notes, so feel free to point that out. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with what loving kindness have I drawn thee. God drew us to himself and continues to draw us to himself by his loving kindness. There are people who actually try to scare people into believing God. You better believe or you'll go fry somewhere. Yet it's really God's love that draws us to him. It says here, again, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yeah, I have loved thee. With what kind of love? An everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's how he draws us unto himself. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. Again, I won't say anything corny like go roaming around your Bible till you find it. That wouldn't be nice. Romans 2, verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath. Oh, that's verse 5. Great verse. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Let me try one. Oh, that is right. Romans 2. Oh, it's verse 4. There's our first typo. Yay! We didn't even get through the first page till we found a typo. Romans 2, 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that what? The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It's the goodness of God. And to repent is to simply change your mind and believe in Jesus Christ. And the reason we do that is because it's God's goodness. We see how good he is. We see how he loves us, how he cares for us. And we say, I want some of that. Imagine. It's Friday night, and you get a call from two groups of people. One group hates you, makes fun of you, tells you you're a loser. The other group is always kind, wonderful, being nice to you, building you up. Which one are you going to go visit with? That's what they call a no-brainer, you know. It's so obvious you want to go with the people that love you and are kind to you. It's the same way here. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. That's what God does. John 3:16. I know I have this reference right. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. First of all, he loved us so much he gave. He looked at what we needed, and he gave. It's easy to talk about loving somebody, but true love, the love of God, is actually giving. And here, God saw what we needed and gave. And he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that great? The reason he sent his Son to be our Savior is so that we could have eternal life, because he loves us. Now, there are hundreds of other promises in God's Word. As you read the Bible, you'll find, maybe not on every page, but every couple of pages at least, you'll see God telling you things He wants to do for you. Now, how do we receive these promises? People, again, will tell you all kinds of things. You've got to do this religious action. You've got to act a certain way, dress a certain way, light a candle a certain way. People have all kinds of things they will tell you you need to do to receive the promises of God. But the number one thing you need to do is believe what His Word says. God promises something, and we believe He's going to do it. Let's go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Matthew 21 and verse 22. Matthew 21:22. In all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, what? Believing, ye shall receive. We first find what's available. Then we ask in prayer, and we believe that God will actually bring His Word to pass. Then we will receive. Find out what's available, which is what God's promised. Ask for it. And believe that God will actually do it. And then we receive. That's the key. We'll read more about that in the next session. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, and the word faith could also be translated believing. But without faith, here in Hebrews 11:6, without believing, it's impossible to please Him. You can be as religious as you want. You can be as well behaved as you want. You can look respectable the most you want. But if you don't believe God's word, you can't please God. It says somewhere that men look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God looks inside and sees what you're thinking. And what He wants to see is people who believe what He says. Without believing, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must first of all believe that He is. That's important. You've got to believe He exists. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That if we actually read His Word and believe it, He'll actually do something for us. See, people have all kinds of ideas. You'll meet people that don't believe God exists at all. You'll meet people who believe God set the world in motion and retired, and He's playing golf in South America or doing some such thing. There are actually people that believe that kind of thing. Yet God's Word says He is, He does exist, and He does reward those that diligently seek Him. He actually helps people. So that is the key to receiving. So to review what we've covered a little bit, we're going to look about into in this weekend of living God's Word about the more than abundant life we have available through Jesus Christ. We've learned that in order to receive from God, we first have to find out what's available. And there are hundreds of promises in God's Word, and the reason they're there is because God loves us so much, and the how of receiving is simply to believe.